Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Hello, and welcome to a special episode of the Batteries Included podcast. I'm your host, Dominic Chioni, and I am joined today by special guest, Scott Case, co-founder and CEO of Recurrent Auto. So thank you very much for joining us, Scott.
Hi, good to be on the show.
So you co-founded Recurrent Auto back in 2020. So what was the impetus that led to this, and what is it exactly that Recurrent does?
Sure. So I'm a serial entrepreneur and I've been working in the clean tech space for now 15 years and counting. And I sort of previously did a company based on working on people's making their houses more energy efficient. As we finished that process, and obviously we didn't make all houses energy efficient, but our company was acquired in 2019, and I thought, well, I need to figure out how to chip away at the problem of climate change in like another way. And so at the time I lived in Seattle and didn't have a garage or off-street parking, so I couldn't be an early adopter EV driver, but sort of like started to think about the problems and what was in the way of getting to 100% EVs on the road. And the I'll spare the long story, but I think we basically started the focus on the used EV market because at the time, even though it was very, very small, we could already see it was being held back by the lack of kind of transparency in the market. And there's this mismatch of questions that people that used shoppers were asking and the answers that used sellers were providing. So we thought, gosh, like there's an opportunity for us to facilitate that used market, basically make it function better. And that's what Recurrent became. So these days, Recurrent is kind of like this industry standard for all the questions that shoppers ask of, how's the battery in that car and how far can I drive and how does that that range change in different weather conditions and how fast can I charge? And like all those questions that you never asked any of those when you went to buy a used combustion engine car. And now they are top of mind when you buy a used EV.
So real quick before we get into the how you do what you do, sure. Do you drive an EV now?
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
I do, yes. So we now have, we are all electric family. So we have a 2023 Tesla Model Y and a 2025 VW ID Buzz, which is very, very exciting. It's actually the color of my glasses. So it's nice. It draws crowds in every parking lot, I'll put it that way.
Right on. That's awesome. I haven't heard... haven't talked to a whole lot of people who are actually VW ID Buzz owners yet. So
there are not a lot of us out there, but it's so fun. You have to be a real extrovert to drive this car because every time we stop in any parking lot, there's like a crowd of, on the one hand, there's a crowd of EV nerds that are like super excited about the car. And on the other hand, there's like a crowd of aging hippies that had one of the original vans and they want to like come up and tell stories about, the great times that they had in the 1960s following the Grateful Dead in their, minibus. So you get an interesting demographic.
That's a whole wide spectrum of people. All right. So basically you're saying that Recurrent Auto is there to provide transparency in the car buying process for people. So what does that entail exactly? And I guess, and how do you basically go about doing that?
Sure. So, I should have said before, we Recurrent Auto is our domain, but we just go by Recurrent, so as a company sure. name. But I mean, the idea is just like you would for a used EV, or sorry, for a used combustion engine car, you know, go to the dealer, you ask to see a Carfax report or an Experian auto check report to understand the service history and accident history and ownership history of the car. We now can provide Recurrent reports that help you understand the battery condition and how good and what you're going to get from a range perspective and how that compares to the vehicle when it was new and compares to others that are like it. So, right now you know your listeners or your watchers can go to anytime they search for a used EV on cars.com, on Edmunds, on dealerships around the country, they will somewhat likely, not every dealership has it yet, but we'll have a kind of some statement about range or battery, and oftentimes that's provided by us and our data.
So there are many thousands of EVs for sale out there right now. You don't go around to each EV and, you know, run tests on each individual one. So how is it that you can evaluate the condition of, you know, this wide variety of different, you know, kind of cars and their batteries?
Yeah, you hit on the hardest thing about this market is the data accessibility. So it's very much the Wild West right now of what's out there in terms of what you can get on any individual car. And it ranges from, you know, on older Nissan Leafs, like there are, you know, enthusiast tools that have, you know, that have kind of like been around for years and years as the, you know, Leaf community has reverse engineered Nissan's kind of onboard diagnostic data. And you can sort of like buy yourself a OBD reader and plug it in an iPhone app and get cell voltages and everything like that. Span that to the other end of the spectrum, and there's plenty of Teslas that don't have accessible OBD ports. In order to get into one of those, you'd have to like flip the back seat up and have reverse engineer the high voltage battery interface, data interface. So it's all over the place, and we knew that was going to be the case when we went into it. So the approach that we took was to create. Remember like Nielsen ratings on television shows? So basically create a sample panel of vehicles that we knew a lot about in order to kind of predict what's going on in the general population. So at this point, we have 30,000 active vehicles on our free owner platform. So if you drive an EV, you should sign up for it. It's really fun. And you basically give us permission to pull data from your battery a few times a day, charge levels, charging speeds, that sort of thing. And then in exchange, you get a monthly report that kind of compares your car to others that are like it and to how it was when it was new. So we then take that data in aggregate and then use it to when a car comes up for sale occasionally one of like, if you go and sell your car, you know, and you've had it on our platform, then we have all your data and you can choose to let us share that. And that actually turns out leads to a higher sale price for you as when you go to sell your car, and very likely you're going to buy another EV. But we also use that data in aggregate to find apples to apples comparisons for cars that we don't know a lot about. More possible, I'll say, with lightly used cars than it is for sort of like pretty old ones. So I wouldn't go and like make a model comparison for, you know, a 10-year-old Nissan Leaf, or if we did, it would be a very, very wide, interval band. But for a 3-year-old Model 3, where we have tons and tons of data on, and we know pretty closely sort of how those batteries and how the ranges are doing after that period of time, it's actually not a bad approach. Moving forward, though, that's changing as some of the manufacturers are sort of beginning to understand that providing more transparency increases the resale value of their cars. And so we have data sharing agreements with several now, where they're like allowing us to go and query their systems to when a car shows up for sale. We can sort of essentially like convey that very specific battery information, and without actually like going in, like putting our hands on and inspecting the car. There are going to be some instances where, you know, those older Leafs where there's going to be a there are different approaches to plug-in diagnostics, and in that case, we're also licensing data from sort of hardware providers like that to include in our report. So it's really just this variety of what's available, you know, operationally, technically, and just a particular car's sort of path to the used ecosystem. We'll use whatever we've got and convey how we're doing it in each case.
That's interesting. Wow. So I didn't realize that was how you did it. Actually, I didn't know. I was like,
well, hey, this is what this podcast is for. Yeah.
Right. So yeah. I signed up this morning myself.
Awesome. Great. And what do you drive? I didn't get that. I should have asked.
Right.
You.
I'll bring up my report actually right here.
Oh, well, if you just signed up this morning, there's not going to be a lot of data for it. But,
right.
But yeah. Not. We'll see some visuals anyway.
Right. So this is what it looks like on the site when you sign up and you go to your vehicle insights page. Yep. So I'm in Tallahassee. I've got, it's a 7-year-old car. The battery's it's a 2018. Mm-hmm. So the, battery is 7 years. It's 75 kilowatt hours originally. And I have a 90, range score, which is excellent. So, but what does that mean exactly, that 90? I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
And so for what, because you just signed up, we have like probably a couple of data points on your car at this point, so not enough. And we haven't seen any charging events yet. Right. And so that section below where it shows battery history, it's basically saying, come back in a little while, you know, we have some data. So the range score is basically intended to be a modeled and algorithmic comparison of all we've seen. Thousands and thousands and thousands of 2018 Model 3s. And so that's basically the algorithmic comparison that said, hey, like on average, your car retains 90% of the range than it had when it was new. So that's like what that 90 means. And I think for a lot of people, so if you went to sell it, you know, for a lot of people, like the fact that a, 2018, so we're now 2025, mm-hmm. 7-year-old EV, like for a lot of people in the used market, they're like, oh my gosh, that's that probably is done. You know, I'd be terrified to buy that car because like it's only a year away from the end of the warranty. And I've seen videos on the internet of cars just like dying and their owners blowing them up because they have no resale value. And that's really not the reality. And so, you know, for what we've seen thousands of those cars, we're basically saying, hey, like on average, those retain 90% of their range, you know, of that model year and vintage. Now, as we get more data on your car, it'll actually kind of like update that score to reflect the reality of your specific situation.
Right. So, So I'm going to be kind of curious to see what it kind of says. Is it likely my range will decrease possibly or...
I don't know. It depends on, what it turns out, it like that predictive model on vehicles, on makes, models, and years where we have seen a lot of data, that algorithm is actually very, very, very accurate. And so there are some variances, you know, if you spent 7 years like fast charging it, going 0 to 100 and parking it outside in the baking sun of Tallahassee all summer in the, you know, and letting the battery drain, you know, and this is like the, worst possible ownership, right?
All
as you know,
all the bad battery behaviors.
Yeah. Bad battery behaviors, right? If you were a bad boy for 7 years, like it's likely to be worse than the average, right? However, you're also, I can intuit from you, the fact that you're a battery nerd like me is that like you probably took really good care of it and went out sort of like did the research about how to care for it even before anyone told you. And so, you know, I think that there's a corollary to this in the combustion engine car market. Like a 7-year-old car, if someone changed the oil regularly all along the way and sort of like did all the scheduled maintenance and everything like that, like that car is going to be in better shape and worth more at 7 years than if somebody who didn't. but there's no oil to change in an EV. And so there's no way to kind of like sort of have a glove compartment full of maintenance records that showed, hey, I did all the things over the course of the years. This, I should be rewarded when I go to sell this car.
So are there different, do you find there's different inputs that change that can really kind of alter the performance of a battery over time, like location? For in the past, because the Nissan Leaf, it's not an actively cooled or battery, or a temperature managed battery system. So a lot of early Leafs had failures in hot climates. And I suspect there's like some degree of that in every battery, but you know, generally they're much better managed than they were in the very beginning. So we don't really see big impacts like that. But the location, and what are some of those factors that really affect the battery health that you've seen?
Yeah.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
So there's going to be a mix of, in my answer to this, is going to be a mix of observed data that we have seen ourselves and correlations, and then I guess I'll say laboratory sort of evidence that sort of shows, hey, like if you do X, Y, and Z, it's better or it's worse. We have seen across the board that there is a slight impact on, you know, cars that grow up in hot places have slightly lower range after sort of 3, 5, 7 years than ones that grow up in cold places. Now, that's not the case with every single car, because you could have an air-conditioned garage in Tallahassee and someone in northern Minnesota could, I don't know what they could do to sort of like heat it up, but you kind of get the point there, right? So it's a general correlation at the population level. We've done studies on, it's really mixed bag on like fast charging. Like in a lab environment, like if you have a high C rate for a battery, and C rate basically you may know is like the, like you're pushing energy in or out very quickly, you know, like fast charging, or like if you somehow could accelerate constantly, at the max velocity, or a max sort of like acceleration all the time, that would be sort of like pushing a lot of energy in and out of a battery. In a laboratory setting, that definitely does cause a premature wear and tear in the battery. So, however, we have not seen that yet in the observed population of our data. I think that the reason we haven't seen that yet is, like, frankly, the studies that we've done have been only on Teslas, and I think Tesla, that like battery preconditioning that you see sort of like that does seem to have an impact. And then I also think that there is like a little bit of a sort of obscured level of that we can see of like what the, you know, we don't have access down to the cell by cell kind of chemistry and what lithium plating is going on, you know, down there. And so so I think that it just may not be that we can see it on, you know. The other thing, let's see, I did hot temperatures. So hot temperatures, sort of extensive use of fast charging. And I'm talking like, you know, you should, like, hopefully your listeners know this, but like it's totally fine to fast charge your, you know, to fast charge your car from time to time. Like, you know, I think where the laboratory experiments have shown is like, if that is all you do, if all you do is sort of subsist on DC fast charging and you're never charging at home, that's going to be an area where it will tend to wear the battery down more quickly. And then the last one I would say is like, you know, generally keeping your battery in the sort of like 20 to 80% state of charge is like a good practice over the long term, versus if you're spending a lot of time at sort of very, very low or very, very high states of charge. For NMC batteries, that's like, I think like they're most chemically stable when they're right around the 50% mark. And so when you're sort of closer to it, sort of better over time. a little different with LFPs, but I'll digress before I get into the into all that nerdery.
Maybe we should talk about that difference just for a second, though, because a lot of people believe that LFPs are a lot more robust, I guess, than NMC or other ternary, like three batteries with three different elements to their anode. Basically, we usually say like nickel, manganese, and cobalt or NMC like that. So is there a are LFPs really as robust? Because manufacturers often say, you know, charge, so you could keep it charged to 100 and charge to 100 all the time, or you know, frequently, or once a week, or whatever. And so people have the impression that they're, you know, a lot more robust than the or typical batteries. So is that true?
Well, they're definitely less sensitive to long-term heat-related degradation, and so they're basically just like, and actually, they're less like. Heat is less harmful to LFP batteries. And so heat can kind of be caused in two ways. One is just like the ambient temperature. So if it's really, really hot, especially if like, you know, if the, you know, you mentioned before, like Tesla and, you know, most modern batteries after the first gen Leaf do active cooling, but the car has to have energy in order to do the active cooling. And so you still can get into a situation where a excess heat can build up in the battery if the battery has no power to cool itself, basically. So, you know, if you leave for weeks and weeks in Phoenix, Arizona, and you leave your car outside and it's not plugged in, it'll drain the battery trying to cool itself, and then it'll just sit there cooking. But the other way that heat is created is fast charging, like that creates heat, right? And so I think that's the other reason why LFP batteries are not as sort of do not wear down as quickly when exposed to all, you know, fast charging all the time. It's just they just aren't as sensitive to the heat created by either the sun or by fast charging.
All right, cool.
But they're lower range, generally speaking, less energy dense. So there's trade-offs there. So so.
but for like hotter climates, maybe LFP is the way to go, you know?
Yeah, I would say hotter climates with good charging infrastructure, you know, public charging infrastructure, actually, hotter climates where there, you know, you've got a lot of sort of range that you need to do in between charging stations, like there may be a better, you know, the NMC type battery might be better just because you might need a raw range more than you need, you know, the kind of long-term protection, the long-term sort of sustainability of the battery.
It just came to mind. I just spent a little bit of time in the Virgin Islands, and one of the places I stayed, they had a fleet of Nissan Leafs, the older ones, and they were not holding up too great. You know, it was just pretty hot down there. Just like the batteries, they're having, you know, battery issues, obviously.
However, those are pretty small islands, and I actually think an old Nissan Leaf is a great car for a small island. You know, like, they might have 40 miles of range, but like, if the island is 5 miles wide, then who cares, you know?
Right. Actually, they put a surprising number of miles on these cars, I digress a little bit. So do you take steps to validate the accuracy of your battery health assessments? Like occasionally do you physically test car batteries to compare to what your platform tells you?
Yeah. So a bunch of stuff there. We are constantly validating our sort of predictive algorithm. The main way is through a machine learning approach, using our own data. So every day, right, we're getting, you know, we're observing millions of data points from the connected vehicles. And so we have an approach that basically says we'll hold out, 10% of our fleet from like what the range scores would be. We hold out the data from those vehicles, right? And we use all the rest of the data from the 90% to go and sort of make a prediction of like, what is the range? What would the range be on an algorithmic basis for the remaining 10% that were in the holdout set? And then, you know, the machine learning model essentially like lifts its hand over the answers and sees how close it was, and then essentially adjusts its algorithm based on that. And there's not just one algorithm. There's like lots and lots of different model families based on different battery packs and different chemistries and everything like that. And so that's a constantly updating process. And what it means is the more data we have, on a particular make, model, year, the the better we are at sort of that predictive process. So we're training on our own data, basically. In addition, we have done side-by-side comparisons with plug-in telematics devices on, like, we've had sort of power user volunteers from our fleet where they like ride around with telematics devices for weeks at a time, and we kind of ground truth against that. Wow. Like I mentioned, we're partnering with some plug-in diagnostic providers as well. So, and then, you know, we've also done sort of side-by-side tests with OEMs internal systems where we're saying, like, hey, based on here's what our predictive algorithm would have said, we don't know anything about this particular car, here's our prediction. And then they, of course, have the exact set of data and, you know, on their own car, like every single data point on every single minute. And they've been like, yeah, actually, it's pretty good. So, yeah, so lots and lots of ways, but it really is still the Wild West of data access. And so I think that there's an evolution on how this exactly works over time.
In China right now, there's a lot of, but there are some 5C and now 6C. Actually, BYD just announced a 10C battery platform.
I saw that, the 1,000 kilowatt peak charger, right?
Yeah, mega charge, big, 1,000 kilowatts. Right. So, and the batteries from, you know, we do mostly in America. I think our batteries are either like made here with Panasonic at, you know, with Tesla, or they come from LG or Samsung, one of the Korean battery companies. But their C rates aren't nearly as high. Is some of this of the low C rates that Western automakers have due to them just being super conservative, or just not pushing it? Like, maybe they could have like a 4C battery, but they're selling at C because they want to be, you know, very sure that, you know, they can warrant they have a warranty length that they need to, you know, at least live up to, and, you know, keep, I guess you hope keeping their customers happy is a priority for them.
Yeah, I don't know. The answer is I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen any. We don't have any data on Chinese EVs and batteries made there. I mean, so I don't know exactly how those vehicles, you know, how those batteries hold up compared to ones made by Panasonic. And but although I will say, like, some of the batteries in U.S. made cars are from China, right? CATL, you know, is a huge supplier. So, so I don't know that there are like complete differences in, you know, between the markets here on the battery side anyway. I could speculate that, you know, that there's just that you know, manufacturers and charging networks are coming down in. I can imagine two sort of like long-term trade-offs. One is, you know, I want to buy my car and I want to, you know, I know that I can have it for a really long time and not have to do a battery replacement on it, right? And I'm willing to take I'm willing to sit there for 10 to 12 minutes for my charging, you know, to add, you know, basically go from 30, you know, 20% to 70% on a road trip, right? And the majority of my charging is going to happen at home overnight, so it doesn't really matter. Versus, you know, a manufacturer finding a sort of a different marketplace where it's like, I want my charge to happen in 2.5 minutes to go from 20% to 70%. And that convenience is worth it to me such that I will, like, know that the battery will wear out within, you know, 6 years or 7 years or something like that. And either it's not my problem because I'm going to sell it and the manufacturer is going to take it back and maybe they get greater recycling the materials, you know. So I think that, like, there's probably there are different market equilibriums that you can imagine there. But again, like, and, you know, and I think the chemistry is always improving, the electrical systems and what's possible within the vehicle and also what's possible in the charging infrastructure and the power grid, you know, is always improving. So I don't think it's a fixed answer of like, oh, Chinese EVs are going to charge faster than US EVs or US batteries will last longer than Chinese batteries. Like, I just, you know, I think that we're really still at this place in the industry where we're just like, there's innovation on all fronts and we're kind of seeing where the right endpoints are.
So Recurrent is operational in North America, so U.S. and Canada? And
just U.S., actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, just U.S. Okay. Yep. So are there, like, laws or other things? What's preventing you from expanding to, like, Canada or Europe?
I would just there's no laws there. Okay. In fact, our privacy policy is written for you know, to work with Canada as well. Just an issue of focus for us.
Okay. You know,
and you could expand hugely. We could absolutely expand hugely, and I would love to do that at some point. We are, you know, trying to get our model right and trying to get, you know, sort of like grow the business in the right way and be responsible. We're still a pretty small team, so.
Right. Because, I mean, in Europe, you have, like, manufacturers from China, all the markets, they all sell in Europe, right? So that would just give you, a depth of information that would be super valuable to a lot of different companies.
Absolutely. I mean, I live in Seattle. If I had happened to be born in Norway, it probably would have been better for me to start this company in Norway in the EU. So what are you going to do?
All right. Well, we're already almost a half hour already. Let's see. Are there any upcoming features or expansions to Recurrent services that you can share, basically?
So one of the things that I'm really excited about, is, that we've really been focused on, like, battery range, you know, range in different weather conditions. That's been, like, the big thing. I'm really excited about starting to illuminate more, differences between different charging, sort of capacities. We were talking about this earlier, right? Like, you know, there, you could have two different used EVs that have the same EPA range, you know, each of them has 300, and the, you know, sort of realistic range for one of them, you know, for each of them today is 240. And yet one of them charges, 50% faster than the other one. Because of either, you know, the C rate that it was made originally, or that there's some kind of battery, you know, sort of software limiting that's going on in that second one. And so there's no information out there. I mean, frankly, there's not even any information on new EVs about, like, you know, sort of comparable apples to apples, which is the fastest charging, you know, of 2025. And really, like, what the difference is, you know, like, does it make a, there, like, if the ID, you know, Buzz has, like, you know, that I drive now has, like, you know, I don't even know what the peak charging rate is, but is that faster or slower than a Rivian? Okay. Like, probably slower, but what's the difference when I'm, you know, most of the time when I'm start charging, I'm charging at home, like on the road trip though, like, you know, is it a difference of 2 minutes? Okay, sure, that's fine. Like, that's not that big of a deal. Is it a difference of 10 minutes? That actually is sort of a pretty, you know, big deal. Yeah. Like, if the Rivian comes in and plugs into the Tesla supercharger after me and leaves before me, like, you know, hey, I would have loved to known that when I bought the car. Right. And I'd probably pay more for that sort of thing. And that's just not information that's out there. And so I think we're excited about incorporating that into our product soon.
Okay. So I think that is just about it. I mean, maybe an overall, just what is your level of positivity looking at the EV adoption going forward?
EV adoption going forward, I think there's a lot of question marks with the new presidential administration. You know, there's not really any, you know, they've been pretty open about what the priorities are and what they are not. Although I will say that there's still, no matter what happens, there's still more talk than action. And I expect that to be the case. And Elon, in a weird way, you know, may be a sort of like balancing factor there, even though it probably doesn't want to sort of say that, you know, up front. What I do think, though, is the used EV market. What I know is the used EV market, no matter what happens during the Trump administration around policies to support new EV adoption, the used EV market is on track to grow by 6 times over the course of the next 4 years. And that we know that that's on the way because, like, those cars were already sold new and are sort of kind of storming into the used market. And so this market, like, is going to be a more and more important one in the next 4 years, kind of no matter what happens on the new side.
Right. Well, That's pretty interesting. We have a series that we do here on the show called Battery Bargains, where we read people's emails telling us what they need in an EV, and then we make a recommendation for them. And so we've come across, you know, the recurrent numbers like on cars.com is one that we use a lot. And you know, it's always a question in my mind. How can I trust? Where is this number even coming from? Like, so it was always a question. So now I know, and I feel so much better actually in knowing that. And
that's great. So And like I said, you know, I will even acknowledge it's not perfect, but you know what? It's a heck of a lot better than not having any information. And that was sort of like, we didn't want the perfect to be the enemy of the good. And we know that we're getting better and better all the time and getting more and more specific data as it becomes available. The main thing is just like give the novice EV shopper like something to go on.
Right. So you're getting information from actual car, like thousands of actual cars, and
yours is now included in that.
And
so
yeah, included. And yeah. People, yeah. So
and this is totally, and that's there. Like, you know, I suspect that everybody listens to this podcast is an EV owner. And so that's like your homework, you know, go to Recurrent Auto, sign up. It's free for EV owners. You give us access to a little bit of your battery data. We don't know where you're driving. We don't know where you are, anything like
it's
that.
All anonymous, like that. Anonymous.
That's right. Yep. We don't get location. And then, you know, in the end, when you're ready to sell, it's like you've sold, it's like you've kept your glove compartment full of service records and you sell your car for more. So it's a nice like benefit for just planning ahead a little bit.
All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of our show. I'd like to thank you very much for spending this time with us, Scott. So what's the best way for people to keep up with what Recurrent is doing?
Yeah, recurrentauto.com. There is sign your car up. That's the first thing. And then you'll get a monthly report from us and you'll get us all the news from us. There's also like a mailing list on there somewhere. So so one of those. Pick your poison.
All right. Well, thank you very much again. And so if you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. I think we're on all of them. Click subscribe, tap that bell icon for notifications. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you again very soon.
Thanks, ciao. Dominic. Bye.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com. Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.